You win this one. You can have it.
No, all I'm looking for is just one important. If Mrs. Murray Mrs. Murray ever concedes a point, do you have definite knowledge that the word agnostic means what you said? Do you have absolute proof of it, that it was never used by theologians?
Nobody has absolute proof of anything. You can't even prove that you're sitting here, and you know it.
Well, I could prove very easily right now.
What we're doing is getting off on a wee little problem here that is not related to what
we're talking about. It's a problem of definitions of terms.
No, it is not a problem of definitions of terms.
Sure it is, because
it's a red herring takes away from the central subject.
Mrs. Murray, what you say is this. You say agnostic means so-and-so,
yes.
And there's no such thing as an agnostic.
Let me just enter in here a moment, Walter.
Your statement has bearing on the subject at all.
She did not say she's an agnostic.
She said she's
an atheist. Now, do you want to debate that one?
I'm going to discuss atheism with her, but her usage of agnostic...
But that's what she claims she is.
Wait, but her usage of agnostic, you see, puts you at a disadvantage when you start to talk about atheism, because there's a very distinct difference between the two. Now, Bertrand Russell is one of
the... Well, I want to play with my definition tonight. How do you like them apples? I don't care what your definition is. I want to play with my definition, and I want people to know what I think that definition is in
the
discussion.
Could I ask you a question?
Ask two if they're small.
All right. I'll give you a short one. If you went into a courtroom in a context of a case and said that to a judge, we're going to play it buster by my rules.
This is all that an attorney ever does. No, sir.
They'll cite enough things to throw you out of the court.
You don't know anything about law. And this is where you fall down. No, because when an attorney goes into court, he says, now, judge, I'm going to show you something. And what I'm going to show you is this, that my client killed this preacher without malice. And that he was temporarily insane at the time, you see. And then he goes and he sets up this premise and he proceeds to prove it. This is exactly what an attorney does. He says, these are the grounds that I'm going to play on, and I'm going to use this
definition.
Supposing
the judge said, define corpus delicti, Mrs. Murray.
Oh, come on.
What would you say?
It's a delectable corpse.
What would you say? Seriously, what would you say?
No, this has no meaning.
It does have meaning.
No,
what would you
say?
No, each
one of these times
I want a definition in a context.
No, we're going to talk about agnosticism tonight.
No, we're
going to
talk first about language.
I have no intention.
Define in a courtroom for me as a lawyer. You're in your own field now. You're safe. I'm a judge asking you, what is corpus delicti?
It doesn't matter, you see.
It does in a courtroom.
It does not
matter. Yeah, but this is not a courtroom.
John, you're missing the whole point.
In this contest.
It does.
No.
Mrs. Murray wants to play language by her rules.
No.
So words lose all their meaning.
You're going to go into a courtroom, and I'm going to be the judge and say to you, define insanity. Oh, come on. This is one of the things that has to do with court and law and everything else are semantics. And one of the things, and I have no intention in getting into a semantic fight with
you. But Mrs. Murray, you will admit, won't you?
If you don't want to accept the definition of agnosticism in relation to what I'm talking about tonight, let's drop this from the subject.
I'll drop it if you'll just answer this question. Are you willing to admit that in specific contexts, words always mean the same thing?
No. Of course not. They don't. We just now have a tremendous feud going all over the world as to when a person is dead, when a person's heart can be used for transplant. What is death? And nobody knows what death is. We have this whole idea of what is God. And you go out and you ask 200 different theologians what God is. One says it's energy, and one says it's love, and one says it's Jesus Christ, and another says it's the Bible, and another says it's this long, bushy-haired guy sitting up in a cloud. Nobody knows. These words cannot be interchanged because they have significant meaning for different people. And the most that we can do is try to reach persons knowing what newspapers carry, knowing what magazines carry, knowing what radio stations carry, knowing what religious programs are on the air. We have to use these terms in a kind of a way that everybody will understand, and that's it.
Do you think, Reverend Martin, that we might move away from the
I've gotten to the point. The main point that I wanted to get from Mrs. Murray was that you can never depend upon the meaning of a word. She has a total anarchy of language, which means that any time you go into a discussion on any point, the moment that the definition suits her, she will change the definition, and that's the end of it.
That is a completely idiotic statement.
No, I don't think so. I think it's factual.
Now, you spoke
for almost 17 minutes, and I haven't had but 8, so I'd like to finish this point.
Ah, but you've been on here 50 times, according to...
Yeah, but your press coverage is much better than mine. You've got much better press coverage.
So you have a bigger audience tonight because I'm here.
Oh, no. Me? Me?
Sure. Yeah.
Believe me, John has got this. John has got the...
You know, 1,640 years, Christianity has had the floor without anybody really to confront them or debate them. And every single time that I'm invited to a radio station someplace, always two or three ministers are brought in to debate every single word that I utter. And this is the most fantastic thing because, really, are you so unsure of yourself that you can't permit me on the air alone?
Mrs. Murray, if I was unsure of myself, I wouldn't be here tonight.
Oh,
I'm here
I
because
would...
I am sure.
You know
now,
that...
I would like to finish my statement, if I may. I'm not under cross-examination yet. It's not an idiotic statement because you made a statement a moment ago, which philosophically you'd be sunk by any university you ever lectured at. I hope you never made it when you said, you can't prove you're here. And that no term means what it means in a given context. For instance, can you ever think of any given context when hydrogen two parts and oxygen one is not water?
Oh, now, come on. You're trying to be erudite. And erudition has nothing to do with knowledge or beliefs.
I'm asking you, can you think of any situation in all experience where hydrogen two parts, oxygen one is not water?
I have no idea because I haven't been around from the very beginning. No, I haven't been around from the very beginning. For instance, there's much evidence that perhaps gravity was not always measured at the figure given today for gravity.
We are passing by the point of your own statement here. You say, the atheist materialist philosophy declares that the cosmos is devoid of immanent conscious purpose, that it is governed by its own inherent, immutable, and impersonable law.
So, insofar as we know this.
But you've contradicted yourself.
No, no. Well,
there
of
is
course
no.
I contradict myself.
Of course
it doesn't matter.
There, it doesn't?
No.
You mean for you there is no need?
No,
wait.
You, see,
you mean
you
for you
have
there is no need for?
Authoritarian...
Can I make a statement?
Yes.
I'm only quoting Mrs. Murray. She says that the universe is governed by its own inherent, immutable, impersonal law.
That's
now,
true.
How can you have inherent and immutable law when you can't
in so
define?
Far
wait a minute.
As
when,
we
wait,
have
wait,
a
wait,
living experience.
You can't even define the reality of hydrogen two parts, oxygen one, but you know the universe is governed by inherent immutable laws.
All
how did you arrive at that?
Now, just a moment, though. Do I use such nonsense words as
yes,
transfiguration or heaven or hell
you're
or
you're changing
God?
The ground of
no,
argument.
No, I'm not. You are never going to see me. When we say H2O, we know what we mean. When
what do you mean?
When you say transubstantiation, you don't have
well,
the faintest
I don't say
idea
it.
What
I
you're
don't
talking
say it.
About.
I don't say
or
it.
Or when you talk about eternity, these are nonsense words.
Why? Is Einstein nonsense?
Einstein...
He's nonsense?
Einstein was not talking about this in the terms that I'm using it now.
How do you know?
Context.
How do you know? Did you read Einstein?
Oh, this doesn't make any difference to you.
It makes
whether
a lot of
I
difference.
Read
you do this
whether
all
I
the time
Einstein
on your programs. You make a statement. You say, he wasn't talking about that. Einstein happened to have made a statement, a number of statements that you're not even aware of, in which he spoke
and you are.
Of it. Yes, I am. That research is my business. Einstein said that the universe was governed by a divine mind. And Einstein said, and I quote him,
quote
just
as much Einstein
can I,
in relation to this
could
as
I finish?
You can,
could
where
I,
he
no,
is
you
also
can't.
Saying
no.
that he does not accept this in
now,
many,
Mrs.
many
Murray,
things
Mrs. Murray, Mrs. Murray, let me bring this point out. Albert Einstein, in his later years, in his reflections on science, made quite a number of very interesting and cogent statements concerning his
which
theory of...
Which support your theory,
no,
so
I'm,
you'll accept them.
No, I'm just trying to make a statement about Einstein historically. At least grant me the
you
courtesy.
Mean hysterically.
Now, you see, it's impossible to have dialogue with somebody who interprets everything you say before you can even finish a sentence. I don't think it's fair. I don't do it to you. I treat you as a lady.
No, you
which
don't.
Is, yes, I do.
You won't before the evening's over.
No, you're going to try and make me not do it, but I would never forget that you're a lady. Now, I don't agree with the people who hissed you on the Johnny Carson show because you would thrive on hatred since you really hate religion.
No, you see...
And I'm not
no,
going
no.
to hate you.
You don't.
But
even,
now let me finish.
You
let
don't
me
know
finish.
What you're talking about.
Let me finish.
You cannot
can I
tell
finish
the
a
kind
sentence?
Of emo- no, I'm not going to
but,
permit
but
it because...
Well, then,
in
if you're not
going to
permit
areas.
Me to finish the sentence,
so
how can
you claim,
I talk?
You claim... that she thrives on hatred.
She does.
Well,
when
I
you
do
don't know
she
a
wants
thing about
to comment
me.
On that.
Now, let me finish. I haven't finished the sentence.
All right, well, finish the sentence.
That's
on the Carson, on the Carson show where there are hisses and boos, and on the program with the, may I mention the, on the Burke TV
Alan
show,
Burke
Alan
show.
Burke
yes.
show, whenever there is violent reaction to Mrs. Murray assumes immediately the garb of a martyr. And she says, I want to work. I want
a
job. I'll do anything.
No, no, I'm not going to permit this to pass because of all things that I am not, it is a martyr.
You try and make yourself one.
No, no, I have no
intention. You label yourself as the woman that put public God out of the public schools.
I have no intention of ever giving my life at any place along the line for this kind of confrontation of ideas. No, no, I love life. And I love to live it. And I intend to live it richly and fully and deeply right down the line. I'm not the least bit interested in being a martyr at any time because life is too important, too real, too earnest,
and too dear. I'm not speaking of martyr as dying. You see, words do have other meanings, you see, by your own definitions.
Oh, no, no. If it has another meaning, then we have anarchy of words and we have no communication.
Oh, but you
can only have one meaning
but
to one word.
Say that. You listen to the tape. I didn't say it. I said to you, in certain contexts.
Do you spend your whole life listening to the tapes that you've been on?
No, to you.
And taking it apart word
to
by
you,
word.
To you,
why
John.
Not, why not parse
language
the sentence?
Language and words is a business for a lawyer if you're a good one. If you don't know language, you have no business being in law. I happen to be a linguist in the sense of the meaning of terms. As I
No, you're an apologist for religion.
Could I enjoy,
and as
John,
an apologist for
you're
religion,
you're supposed
you
to moderate
to
this. Now, do I get a chance
control
to talk?
The words
or are
words
you on her team?
No. Oh, please.
Okay, I've got to talk then.
Now, you right away you're labeling me. And I think you're being unfair. You're a guest of mine.
Shh.
And you're insulting our moderator by labeling me.
Oh, John,
do you want to apologize?
I couldn't do that. My conscience would bother me.
All right, go ahead. Now make your point. I'll tell you, in fact, I'm going to give you 2 minutes.
My point
uninterrupted.
Is, Mrs. Murray delights in trying to needle people who are trying to talk to her and trying to reason, trying to find out, asking questions about things. She needles them and makes off-the-cuff remarks, and some of them are aimed at conveying an impression, a psychological impression. She's a former psychiatric social worker. She's aware of the meaning of terms in language. She snickers about clergymen being loony. She deliberately holds back on the word nut and then changes it to minister. She's well aware of how this affects an audience. Now, I don't mind being called loony or a nut for the sake of Jesus Christ. I just like to know what her excuse is. I've got a good excuse.
There wasn't even a Jesus Christ.
Well, now, you see, there's an interesting...
So you go off on all of these things that have absolutely no meaning.
Madeline, please.
Mrs. Murray, thanks for the 2 minutes.
Yeah. Tell us how you've been saved.
Well, it wouldn't be difficult, but John would be terribly upset to take his valuable time.
No, please. I'd like to hear about it.
Fine.
I want you to take 2 minutes
I'd be,
to talk about the saving
I'll be
of
delighted.
Reverend Walter Martin.
Breast. I'd be delighted to, and I won't beat my breast about it at all. I'll simply state it, but before I do state it, I intend to get this point across. Mrs. Murray's own statement about atheism and materialism and statements about the universe is devoid of immanent conscious purpose and governed by impersonal and immutable law, she can't make by virtue of her own vocabulary because she can't define immutable law. She can't define purpose. She can't define any of these things because every time you force her into a context, Mrs. Murray will change the meaning of the word in its context. Now, as far as me, as far as I'm concerned personally, I'm delighted to speak for Jesus
Christ.
All of
your words have concrete meaning.
I would like to say this. I am a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am no better than Mrs. Murray is. I'm only a sinner saved by grace.
Oh, dear.
I accepted Jesus Christ as
grace
my Savior.
Who saved you? Grace who?
Do we have the common courtesy of intercourse?
No, because...
Or was I
not
asked
here
the question?
On the air.
Was I asked
a
question? Was I asked the question?
No, but really.
The question?
When you go into
then
this
will you
thing
permit
of
me the
talking
answer?
About the grace
John,
of Jesus you
want,
Christ, you don't even
you
know what you're talking about.
Will you permit me?
Please.
Will you permit
Reverend
Mrs.
Martin.
Murray says right here, the aims of her society is promote freedom of thought. I assume it's since she's a lawyer.
Rational which, thought.
By your definition. That's why you're dangerous, Mrs. Murray. Because by your definition, rational thought is the suppression of my right to be religious. And you would suppress me, I'm sure, if you had the opportunity.
No. I wouldn't suppress a nudist either. If you want to be nutty, why you be nutty.
You
in
see,
any area
we're back to the words
be.
Again, you see. Oh. I could get on a program and I could say, Mrs. Murray is nutty. I could get on and make fun of
Go
atheists.
Ahead.
Why? You thrive on it. You live on it.
You can't make fun of atheists because reason
I don't want
happens to be on our side.
I don't
side.
Want to make
you
fun of atheists.
You can't make fun of atheists or you can't even argue
I don't
with
want to make fun of an atheist.
We happen to have the...
I don't... You happen to have a tremendous ability to keep talking. But aside from that, not much...
I haven't been able to get in a
Look,
word.
I've had you on many times, Walter, so don't give me that.
You
All I've been
to,
able to get are a few jibes in here.
Yeah, you're doing pretty good. You talk about freedom of thought. But here I'm expressing freedom of thought. I said...
No, you're expressing psychosis, pure and simple right down the line.
Are you a qualified diagnostician?
I am qualified diagnostician.
Are you a qualified...
Psychosis?
You are not.
Yes.
You are not. You have no degrees or no training to qualify you.
What is psychosis?
Well, you have to tell me. You use the word.
This is whether or not you are in touch with reality, and religion is not in touch with reality.
How do you know?
Kiddo.
How do you know, kiddo?
Come on.
How do you know?
You're talking about the grace of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You couldn't define this for anything in the world.
I can.
Except in other spiritual,
I can.
Nebulous spiritual terms.
I can define it.
Well, wait.
Very simply.
Mark, I'm anxious because I just broke the point on my pencil, and I want to get it resharpened so I can make notes.
I thought you were sharpening your fangs.
I think... Reverend Martin, that we're losing a wonderful opportunity to be able to talk with Madeline Murray instead of going through. Incidentally, I wished you would, because I myself, I've heard this too, and I'm not saying that you don't know what you're talking about, but I must admit I don't understand it. What is it meant through the grace of Jesus Christ?
The word grace in the New Testament usage simply means something that's unmerited as a gift from God. I started to say before I was interrupted that Christ redeemed me by his grace. That is, I didn't deserve it. And it was a gift, redemption, through faith in the cross.
Well, just...
The word comes from a New Testament context.
No, I'm asking you to explain this to me with the mentality of about a 10-year-old child. Don't tell me to read the Bible now. Now,
can
I want
do
you
it with
to
an
tell
illustration?
Me... Yes, go ahead.
All right, do it with an illustration. You are brought into a courtroom... Guilty of a crime.
Oh, I'm never brought into a courtroom
not
guilty
yet.
Of a crime.
Say.
So well, then don't tell me I'm brought into a courtroom. That's a poor analogy.
Well, would you let me?
I have been indicted for a crime, and now I'm going to trial.
You're
that's
up for
right.
sentencing.
You're innocent.
Can you let me finish? Sheesh.
But you've already told me I'm being brought...
You're brought into a courtroom, guilty of a crime, you're up for sentencing. And before I can say the sentence, you're up for sentencing, you're already correcting me.
I see. All right.
Can you be convicted and be brought in for sentencing?
Yes.
Thank you. Yes. You concede that, Mrs. Murray. That's one thing you will concede. Thank you. Well, I didn't get a concession, I got a laugh. But that's better than what I've been getting. All right, now...
Well, that's what you're here for, is laughs.
Yeah, oh, you got me here for laughs, but the Lord's got me here for a reason. Now,
oh dear,
you're coming
bad
up. You're coming up for sentencing.
Yes,
you've been convicted of a crime.
Yes.
Now, if you can imagine a person with the power to intercede for you, though you are guilty, and to actually bear the punishment which you deserve for that crime, this is grace. And this is what God did for us in Christ on the cross.
This is what Abraham Lincoln scoffed at as saying the Christian method of salvation.
You know,
what
you,
was this crime that
John,
you committed?
Can I,
it was the original sin of Adam and Eve, wasn't it?
No. Can
come
I
on,
finish?
This is the original sin
can
of
I
which
finish?
You are burdened.
Can I finish?
Oh, well, go ahead. Let him finish, Madeline.
Finish?
We'll
oh,
find
John asked me a question.
We both learned something, Madeline.
Well, we can give it a try. I mean, it may be hard, but give it a try. The point that I'm trying to make is you asked for definition of grace. That's it. An unmerited gift... that you don't earn.
I must say I don't understand it, but nevertheless, you've tried hard,
because
and it's my
not
stupidity.
You can't understand that. Well,
that's
I have
true.
To concede it, but we won't.
Yeah.
You said it. I didn't.
Yeah,
the
that's
point
right.
is,
I must admit, I'm very
right.
stupid. I don't understand that.
All right, it's
and
a,
I
it's
think
grace.
That the average person hearing that phrase doesn't know what you're talking about, and I don't think you do either. But you go ahead.
I simply illustrated the fact of what grace was, right. and I
how
gave
did
the illustration.
You, how did you see this light? In other words, what happened to you? Did you get a peculiar feeling or
no,
something that day?
No, no. By reading the scriptures. And by seeing other people live the Christian life, I began to do what the Scripture says.
You know
said.
Of anybody
can
that
finish?
Lives the Christian
yes,
life?
Yes, I do. Good. I sought to find out whether or not this was true.
How would you know
can
whether
I
a person
finish?
Is living a Christian life?
Can I finish?
No.
You ask me.
I'm asking
you
questions.
Ask me, you know,
look, I do an interview show, Walter.
Yes, John, but you...
I don't let you come up to make speeches.
Wait a minute. You're going to...
Now,
you,
this is an
now,
interview.
Now, wait a minute. Don't get yourself all worked up. You ask
you
a question.
You may have God on your side.
You ask
you
a question.
You haven't got me on your side. At
oh,
moment.
I knew that before I got here.
All right.
You ask me a question. Before I can answer it, you ask me a second one.
You're using terms, and I ask you, what does that mean?
I defined it.
All right.
Now,
tell me about these Christian
people.
Yeah, but
you decide, do you define it with other nonsense terms? When you say that God took away, or Christ, through his dying on the cross took away your sins. This is ridiculous.
Why?
You weren't even
because
in
you don't believe
then.
It.
No, you weren't in existence then, and Christ isn't a historical
Murray,
person, and the whole thing is
Mrs.
just
Murray,
a scheme in somebody's mind.
The statement you just made, Christ is not an historic person, is a very interesting one. Would you care to document for us the proof of the non-existence
document.
Of Jesus Christ?
Oh, come
Christ.
On. Nobody ever proves a negative, and you know this, so
well,
I don't
moment.
Have the
wait
proof.
A moment. Wait a moment.
You
wait
dreamed
a moment.
Him up.
Wait a moment.
You proved that
wait
he
a moment.
Existed.
Wait a moment. Wait a moment. If you're going to say that Jesus Christ never existed, if you're going to say this, then you're going to have to answer to people who agree with your position who affirm vigorously the historical evidence that he did exist.
There's no historical evidence of Christ, and you know it. Now, don't be asinine and use
there terms. Isn't any historical evidence.
There is no historical evidence. The only evidence that there is in the mythology of the Old Testament, which nobody can understand, and in which a person is described in one manner in one chapter and another manner in another chapter. Mm-hmm. Christ is probably the most mixed-up person in the world if you take a New Testament definition.
You believe in the historical existence of Jesus of Nazareth?
No.
And on
it isn't a matter of not believing or disbelieving it. It's a matter of fact that there is no
what
historical, archaeological, cultural, or sociological, no proof whatever
please,
that he ever existed.
Please, can I ask you a question? What would you consider evidence of his existence? As a lawyer, what would you consider evidence?
It doesn't matter what I would consider as evidence.
Well, I'm trying to communicate with you.
No. The thing is, what is there? And then you take an analysis of what is there. Now, the Romans were very fine historians. They really were. They kept a beautiful set of records in their Senate. If there ever had been a trial of Jesus Christ under Pontius Pilate, it would most probably be in their records. There is nothing. There is absolutely no historic proof. There's an interpolation in Josephus.
Wait a minute. That's an interesting
point. And
everybody
understands.
Who understands?
Every single
have you ever traced back the antiquity of Josephus's copies?
Among other things.
You have?
What, 15 years ago?
Just
and then
a moment.
I was done with it.
No, I mean this. How far back have you gone with Josephus?
I don't remember.
No, I can tell you you don't. I know why you don't remember. Because the oldest manuscripts of Josephus, dating below the Middle Ages, do have
come on, below the Middle Ages. Below the Middle Ages. Tacitus. Tacitus did not have a reference to any Christos before Oregon. And you know it.
Between who? Before who? Oregon?
Well, this is the... I'm very poor with my pronunciation.
You're not only poor with your pronunciation, you don't know anything about history.
O-R-I-G-E-N. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Well, Origen happened to be a second century church father.
It just so happens that at the time that he was writing, he didn't know of this reference in Tacitus.
The point I'm making...
And right down the
line,
every
single reference to Jesus Christ... You're not going
to
get me...
There is none.
You're not going to get me off the historical
Madeline,
point.
Reverend Martin. Go ahead, Walter.
You're not going to get off the historical
point. So you believe in David Copperfield, too. I don't care.
Mrs. Murray,
let him finish
Mrs.
his
Murray,
point, please.
The point still remains that the oldest manuscripts of Josephus, the oldest, contain the reference to Jesus of Nazareth as an historic person.
I can't help that. They're still Middle Ages. You just finished saying this.
But I'm trying to bring the point out that you're arguing from a negative. I have the evidence that it's there. You have no evidence that it isn't.
You don't have any evidence at all dating from the time of Christ's supposed occupation of the earth. You have nothing.
May I?
And you know it, and I know
That's
it.
That's not
you
true.
You can't name one.
May I? May I name one?
I think if you can name one,
yeah.
You will be a living monument to God from here on in, because the historians have.
I'm a living monument now,
no,
by grace.
The historians have sought this for how many thousands of years?
Mrs. Murray,
how many hundreds of
Mrs.
years?
Mrs. Murray, you
As
don't
a matter
read
fact,
history.
Now wait a minute. When the Dead Sea
Can
Scrolls
I answer
were
the
discovered,
question?
Everybody was excited about it because
the
they thought, ah.
Let him make his
question?
Point, please.
I make the point. I just want to make a point. That's
Go
all.
Ahead.
You made a blunt and all-encompassing statement. You said. He doesn't exist as a historic personage. There's nothing back there in the early contemporary period of Christ, the first and second centuries, that prove this, so forth. All right, now, let me ask you a question. The Jews, who at the time were responsible for the death of Christ, we won't get into the argument of all Jews, but the Jews are at that time responsible
well,
now,
wait
for the death.
Wait a minute, wait a moment.
How could they
moment.
Be when he didn't exist?
Wait a moment. Even
finish?
If he existed, the fact is, even the Pope has offset that
right.
comment.
Yes, but the High Court of Israel confirmed it.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
now,
so we
come
got an anti-Semite.
Can I
so I don't care.
Well, Mrs. Murray, be careful. I am not anti-Semitic.
What? You well, can't do anything else when you come up with
Mrs.
this.
Mrs. Murray, be careful. As a lawyer, you should know better. Don't call somebody an anti-Semite. It's a very dangerous word. I'm
no,
not.
No, it isn't. It's not libelous per se, and you know.
I'm not anti-Semite.
Now, you are I'm saying that the
question.
Jews, what, you're saying the Jews killed
Christ? Jews are responsible
all right,
for the death of
just
Jesus
a moment,
Christ.
Just a moment now.
Ooh.
Just a moment. Just a moment. Let's even make it easier so we won't have that problem. The
you
Jews.
You better back out of it.
I won't back out of anything.
Well, that's what you're doing when you're saying let's make it easier in
shall
order
I make
so that
it,
we don't have
I
that
make
problem.
It,
let's
I...
make it difficult and right. take your statement that Jews
fine.
Were responsible for the death of Jesus Christ.
They were.
And you stand there.
They were and I stand there, along with the New Testament. Now, back to this text. An important point. You maintain there is no evidence.
None whatsoever.
Fine. Are you familiar with the Talmud?
More or less. Make your point.
You are familiar with it?
Make your point.
You just say yes or no.
I said more or less.
Do you know whether the Talmud is dates back before the Christian era?
Right at this particular moment, I do not know whether or not the Talmud that is extant now had, it seems to me, what is it, 1200 or something? That it first was written, it's very late.
No.
Very late.
The Talmud.
Very late.
The Talmud, which any good rabbi, Orthodox or otherwise, can tell you, and we have it on tape here on one night when I was on. The Talmud contains a second century reference.
A second. I'm saying that the Talmud, as it is now, was authenticated in all of its documents, etc., about 1200 or something.
The second century Talmudic document.
You're still nowhere near Jesus Christ. You're 200 years away from
him. Let him make his point, Madeline.
Maintains that Jesus of Nazareth was the illegitimate child of Miriam, a Jewish girl, Mary, and a Roman soldier named Pandarus. And that he...
Oh, I... Yeah.
Ah, yes, I thought you remember that. Now, it would seem very... don't dismiss it. It would seem very... Why would you dismiss it? It would seem very strange for the Jewish people who through the centuries have been blamed as a people for the crucifixion of Christ to have made reference to a man who never historically existed. Don't you think so, Mrs. Murray?
Look...
Now,
I'm going to answer it in this wise.
Yeah, I want to hear
We have a man who is able to create beautiful characters, Charles Dickens. He's able to create these in complete form, depth, everything else. And just because he is able to create this, this does not mean that Fagin existed. And whether or not in the, I want you to remember two or three things. The world has been largely illiterate until just what? Since the late 1800s.
Would you get to your point?
So that you have Jewish historians with an axe to grind, or you have Christian historians with an axe to grind.
Jewish historians with an axe to grind concerning, concerning Jesus of Nazareth?
This
boy, you're pretty far off.
Just a moment, please. Here we have, we have a beginning religion, and this beginning religion is predicated on the fact that a Jew has deserted his synagogic kind of faith and has tried to liberalize it. And
liberalize
that he has
what?
I'm talking about Jesus Christ trying to liberalize that particular element in which he
how
has
can he liberalize anything?
I'm talking about the story which was written. So that you have this schemata of ideas that is slowly coming to the foreground in, say, the year 200 or 300 or what have you.
200 will do fine.
And what will happen then if the Jews decide that they want some sort of defense against this story?
Just deny that it ever existed.
They could do that, but the mind is peculiar, and some Jews may decide, we won't do that. We'll cast aspersions on his birth, and we'll say that he was really born of Miriam, that he was illegitimate, and we know his father.
Wait a minute.
So you have
world?
A different
oh,
kind.
Come
These
on.
People, number one, come they on. Were illiterate. They knew nothing about history, archaeology. They knew nothing about science. They knew nothing about culture. They knew nothing, really, even about religion or the religious origins. They knew nothing about this.
Everybody's ignorant. Put you on these things.
I am. You know that these people at this time were basically
sort.
Ignorant.
I know
basically.
Nothing of the sort. Josephus was one of the best historians of the time, and he wrote a very fine history, although it's not accurate in every area. It's a very thick and detailed history.
If
you will, please.
But he's still a good historian.
I was hoping that Rabbi Aaron Pearl would call us on the phone. And if he does, I would like to get a call through from him.